You know, these are really crazy times. We could not have guessed when all of this began that we would be sitting separated from each other like this with masks and sanitation stations all around the building. We wouldn't have guessed that only this level would be accessible to us. So many unknowns that we had then about what it would look like now. I can remember back on March the 15th, the first Sunday that we posted a video of our service. And I remember standing here in the sanctuary, totally empty building, with little clips of paper to remind me of what I was supposed to say and when I was supposed to say it. And I think in that first address, I said, you know, we might be here for a couple of weeks, but we'll make it through. Well, here we are 13 weeks later, and it's just amazing what we've experienced as a congregation and as a society. So many things have changed so quickly in the last 3 months. A friend of mine was from Alaska. He was a captain of a fishing boat up there, and he was also a pilot. And one time we were talking about some of his adventures, and he said, let me tell you about a friend of mine. A friend of mine fit his plane with sleds where the tires are supposed to be on his plane, so that in the winter he could take off and land in snowy conditions. And one day he loaded his plane up with lots of gear, and a handful of people got onto a small bush plane, and he took off on a snowy runway and went into the blue sky. They were to cross over a pretty large mountain range and drop into a valley to drop off the people and the supplies. And as they were flying, unexpectedly, a fog set in around them. And the pilot had flown in storms before, but as the fog set in, he had a very different sense this time. And pretty soon, all around him, it was gray. He couldn't see the sun anymore, just kind of a gray blur all around him. And so he glanced down at his instruments. And his instruments were telling him one thing, but he was sensing something totally different. His instruments told him that he was flying steady and steadily, and he decided that, no, maybe I need to pull up a little bit to adjust to what he was feeling. And then he thought maybe he should go down just a little bit to adjust further. And then he went to the right and the left, and his instruments were all over the place, and he could not tell which end was up. At one point, he felt like he was even flying upside down. And then he began to think where he was at, and he thought he was heading west, and his instruments were telling him something very different. And then he thought about the altitude, the height of the mountains around him. And he glanced down at his instruments, and he saw what his altitude was, and he realized he was in big danger, and he whispered a prayer and pulled back on the yoke. What he was experiencing was spatial disorientation. Have you felt that over the last few weeks? We were talking before the service about how it was hard to know what week it was, or month it was, or day it was. And it's kind of like this COVID calendar blur has settled in around us. Just an update, today is Sunday, June the 7th. But everything else just seems like a blur around us. Maybe your bearings have been jostled and your inner ear is spinning. You're not sure what end is up or how to experience stability once again in life. This morning, I want to remind you of two instruments that you have on your control panel that is God's Word. Two instruments that will not fail you. And in spite of the way that you feel dizzy and jostled and out of control, these two instruments remind you of something, two things that will not change. The first is this: God is in control. God is still in control of your life and the circumstances we see all around us. And the second gauge that I want us to look at on our instrument panel is God's love for you is immeasurable. God is in control, and his love for you is immeasurable in spite of what you feel or what you see all around you. Today, I want to land in the book of Ephesians. We could go to lots of different places in Scripture to see this truth that God is in control and that his love is immeasurable. But I want us to look at the book of Ephesians this morning. I want us to spend just a few minutes in two chunks of Scripture, two passages. We're committed during this strange time to keep our services to 1 hour. And so as we look at these two passages, know that we're just kind of touching the surface of both of these issues. But the first is this, and we'll find it in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we will see that God is in control. I want to look at verses 3 to 11. And as I read through these verses, would you listen to key words that talk about God being in control, about our lives being planned, and about the way that He orchestrates events for our good and for the overall redemption of humanity? These verses are filled with those things, and let's squeeze these verses together and see what we discover. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. He chose us to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His good pleasure and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves, Jesus. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Did you see these words? Choice, God determining our actions and the things that we experience, His purpose, His plan, His pleasure. You and I did not randomly end up in a relationship with God. He has been calling humanity and you and me to Himself since creation. Since the relationship with humanity was broken between Adam and Eve, God has been calling us back to Himself, and it's His purpose that we be united under the redemptive work of Jesus. Jesus is like the adoptive agent who steps into our circumstance and brings us into a right relationship with God when we believe that He died on the cross for us and rose again, Jesus. We're invited into a relationship with God out of God's good pleasure and His will for us. He wants you to be in relationship with Him. He wants to spend eternity with you. It's part of His plan. Look again at verses 9, 10, and 11. And this was a mystery to the folks there who were receiving the good news about Jesus. This was a mystery because it was unfathomable that the Holy God would want to spend eternity with us and be in this kind of relationship with us. He made known to us this mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him, you and I were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. There is nothing that happens in our life that catches God by surprise. Now, when I think about God's will, and maybe when you think about God's will and you see all the stuff that's going on around us, we may ask the question, how does this all make sense? God, if You are in perfect control, how come things around us are in such disarray? God, why do You allow murder hornets to invade our country from Canada? Why would You allow this to take place? Maybe we wonder about this virus that's been rampaging around the world, and the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people globally that have lost their life to this virus that is rampaged. Maybe when we watch the news, or when we drive downtown, or when we sit here at the church or at this intersection and we see all the protests and everything that is going on around us. When we watch the brutality and the injustice and the rioting and the destruction and the injustice that we've seen across our country toward one another over the years, and as it comes to a head now, we wonder, God, how are you in control over all things? And how will you bring all things to unity under Christ? Boy, those are hard questions that I don't have the answer to. I don't know all the reasons why God allows what he allows when it comes to sickness and injustice. I don't know why he allows it to take place. But I know that many of the things that we see are a result of the sinfulness of humanity. The things that we've done to one another, and the responses of injustice and brutality. And as all these things snowball around us, we wonder, why, God, would you allow this to happen? When very often it comes down to our own rebellion against God and sin that's unleashed in us toward the people around us. Boy, I don't know the reason why he allows all the bad stuff that we experience to happen. But these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, they tell us that eventually God will bring all of this mess into unity and submission before Christ. That everything will be brought to conformity to his purpose under the leadership of Jesus. When our world is reeling, and when we experience spatial disorientation, remember that God is in control. Look at that gauge, look at that control panel, and know that God is in control of all circumstances, that he either orchestrates events or allows them to take place, but nothing is out of his control. Now, in the midst of continued isolation that you're experiencing, that those who are watching over the internet are watching, those who can't be with us this morning, as you experience continued isolation, it would be easy to think, okay, God, I admit you're in control over all the chaos that I see, but wow, I feel really alone, and I feel isolated, and I feel forgotten, and I feel cut off, and I feel powerless. And God, if I were really honest, I would feel like maybe you had forgotten about me. That maybe I was overlooked when it came to your dispensing of love for the day. And in that confusion, we have to look at our control panel. We have to look at the gauge that reminds us that God's love for you is immeasurable. Let's look at this gauge. We find it in Ephesians chapter 3. Some of you can just glance across your Bibles and see Ephesians chapter 3 there. You might have to turn a page to the right. But in verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, we find this great prayer from Paul for believers. He prays for the believers in Ephesus, and boy, I believe he prays for you and me as well. Listen to how God's love is tightly packed into these verses. God's love for you is immeasurable. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, now this is God's glorious riches, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. That includes everyone who's here today, who's placed their faith in Christ. All of God's holy people, all followers of Jesus that have lived in ages past, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. Now think about a measuring cup that would hold the fullness of God. How would you ever do that? You can't do that. God is like this expanding presence in our universe, this personal being that has no limits and has no end. And here Paul is saying, I pray that you would experience the full measure of God's love that is as full as his being. And that's an impossible amount. Paul is praying that you and I would be overwhelmed with this embracing, unleashed love that is focused on you and me, and that the total of it cannot be contained. Now, when it comes to the love of God, you may have lots of thoughts that are stirred in you. Now, there are two big thoughts that come up oftentimes in people's lives when they think about God's love. The first is this. Well, God's love is big and it's huge and it's strong and it's holy, and there's no way I could ever experience God's love. And so there's got to be something that I can do to measure up or to make myself worthy or to grab his attention so that maybe he would grant me grace or forgiveness. Or before I'm forgiven, I have to do this or that. Have you ever had those thoughts that you feel like you have to measure up to God's love? That's a huge, overwhelming thought that results in us saying, woe is me, I don't deserve God's love, I have to do something to earn it. And in doing that, we totally miss the mark of God's love and his grace. God's grace is a gift to you and me. There is nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. It is a gift that he presents to us. And when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus, he gives us the full limit of his love. There is nothing you can do in this life or eternity that will cause God to love you more than he loves you right now. His full love has been unleashed in your life. Now, when we understand God's love in that way, we realize that he loved us not because we loved him first, but he loved us because he gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And it puts us in a place where we understand his words for us, where he says, don't try to earn it. There's nothing you can do to achieve it. Just trust in my son and receive it. And knowing that about God's grace frees us to experience this gift of forgiveness and unconditional acceptance under the umbrella of God's love. So that's one thought that we have when it comes to experiencing God's love, that a wrong thought that we have to earn it. Another wrong thought is this. You know, God's all loving, God's kind, and God is accepting. And you know, he approves of the life that I'm living right now. And we might come to the conclusion that God is never disappointed in me. In fact, God cheers me on with every step that I make and every choice that I take. I didn't mean it to rhyme, but there it is. And we think that maybe God is always applauding us as we go and that he's never disappointed. That's a wrong thought as well. There are times when God is very disappointed in you and me. And that's not an easy thing for us to hear in this time and in this era, that you and I can do something to disappoint God. It's easy for us to look at the people around us and say, boy, that person's really disappointing God. But not me. God approves of everything that I am. But that thought, that idea, is not consistent with Scripture. God loves us unconditionally, but that unconditional love does not mean that you and I don't disappoint God. To think otherwise is not consistent with Scripture. You and I disappoint God all the time. Now, I know this to be true because I know my own life, but I also know that God's word calls us to confess our sin before him and to repent of the things that we've done wrong, the way that we've harmed the people around us in our words or our thoughts or our actions. In the book of James, we're even called to confess our sins to one another so that we might be healed. And so when it comes to God's grace and his love, to think, you know what? God's okay with me, and I don't have to confess anything. He's never disappointed in me. That is a wrong posture for us to take. As wrong as it is to think that somehow we can earn the favor or the love of God. He calls us to this place where we humbly step before him to receive his grace and we submit to him so that his holiness can permeate our lives. God's forgiveness, if we think that we don't disappoint him, is nothing more than a pass. The price of God's only Son was paid so that you and I could experience his grace. And that is a very costly love. We step into this love, immeasurable love relationship with God as a free gift. And out of response to what he's done for us, we pursue holiness in our lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. Knowing this about God frees us from ourselves in order to experience the fullness of his holiness. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, 16, one more time, as we try to wrap our minds around this hugely complex and vastly simple love of God. This is the reason that Paul prayed this, because he knew that it was such a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around. But he prays for you. He prays for me. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Scripture promises that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, delivers to you the person and the presence of Christ when we place our faith and trust in him. Now, these two things, God being in control and his love for us being immeasurable, is very difficult to remember in times like this. With illness, violence, retaliation, anger, malice, and weariness all around us, it's so hard to remember, and it's easy for us to experience spatial disorientation. Boy, a condition is dizzying and sickening and agonizing, where maybe you, like me, wake up some mornings and think, I don't want to turn the TV on. I want to keep it off all day. I want to stay off the internet. I want to live in my tiny little bubble here, because when I see what's going on all around us, boy, my heart gets heavy and it aches, and I need to be reminded that my gauges do not lie, and that God is in control, and that his love for me is immeasurable. Remember the pilot in Alaska? Spatial disorientation. He whispered a prayer as he pulled back on the yoke, and he felt the G-forces pressing deep into his seat. And suddenly the plane bumped and lurched, then the engine stalled. Everything felt sluggish, the engine sputtered, and he felt like he was in free fall. The plane no longer responded to his controls, and then everything went silent. In the next few seconds, the clouds parted and he could see the peak of the mountain. And to his surprise, despite what he was feeling inside, the peak didn't get any closer. And he realized that the plane was still. The fog rolled away, and he found that as he had pulled up, he had landed gently on a snowbank on top of a glacier on the side of the mountain. God is in control. We may not understand it. We may not see it around us. But we know that because of his immeasurable love for us, he is in control of the outcome of our lives. The pilot caught his breath and waited for the skies to clear. He then started the engine and turned his plane down slope and rolled off the glacier and into the blue skies once again. You and I may be feeling spatial disorientation in these days. Trust what you know to be true. God is in control, and his love for you is immeasurable. How do you need to experience his presence in your life today? Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to call out as you trust in him as these gray skies surround us. Father, I thank you so much that out of your great love, you sent Jesus. And I thank you that through your plan of redemption for humanity, you've included us. Thank you, Jesus, that we who have placed our faith and trust in you, know you, Jesus, to not only be our Savior, but to be our Lord. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to speak words of encouragement and direction and hope to us when we feel like we're spiraling out of control. And Jesus, I pray for peace over our nation. I pray for peace in our community. And Jesus, where there is disappointment, things that we've done, either individually or collectively, to bring disappointment to the heart of God, oh Jesus, we confess and we repent and we turn to you. And we ask, Jesus, that you would not only forgive us, but that you would enable us to be agents of justice and mercy. I pray, Father, that you would shower us once again with your blessing and the resources that we need to speak words of hope and life and truth to the people around us. And Jesus, maybe we're in a spot this morning where all we can do is whisper a prayer and pull back on the yoke and trust you to bring us to a safe place. Jesus, cause us to trust you. I pray to you, Holy Spirit, that you would rest upon us, that you would rest upon your people, and that you would give us opportunities to speak good news to the people around us. It's in the name of Christ that I pray.